Welcome to the King's Word Bible Study. Today our topic is going to be thanking God in advance. Let's begin today in Psalm 100. In Psalm 100, which is a psalm of praise, beginning in the first verse, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Verse 4 told us, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name." Giving thanks to God is one of the most important things we're called to do as his people. There's so many things to be thankful for, so many promises he's made to us, so many blessings he's given us, so many times he's delivered us. With all of these reasons, and a million others, how could we not give thanks? Thanks should be the natural byproduct of an overjoyed and a grateful heart. But not only should we give thanks for what he's already done and what he's doing right now, we can't forget to give thanks for what he's going to do in the future. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Ephesians 5:20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." All means all. Every means every. These are all-inclusive, all-comprehensive words. So what if the thing that we're thinking about hasn't come to be yet? What if it hasn't manifested? It's still something that we should give thanks for. Many Christians don't give thanks in advance, simply for the fact that they see no evidence of it. They're not sure if it's really coming or not. So then they don't thank God for it, even though it is on the way. Just because we can't see something in the natural doesn't mean that it's not there. It doesn't mean that it's not going to manifest at the appointed time. It will, if we keep our faith and wait for it with patient expectancy. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." This verse, probably more than any other in Scripture, communicates the importance of giving thanks in advance. It says watch. If we're only giving thanks for things that have already happened or are happening right now, then there's no need or reason to watch. We only watch for something that's up ahead, something coming in the future. The idea of watchfulness leads us to the foundation of giving thanks in advance, which is faith. Watching is the action that we put to our faith. When we made our request to God, we watch for the answer and we thank him for the answer even before it arrives. This demonstrates our faith. Many Christians today don't do this because since they see no evidence of the coming answer, they feel like they have no reason yet to give thanks, so they hold off, thinking that they'll do it later after the answer arrives. But that mindset misses the whole point of what faith really is. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." When we're praying for something, when we made a request, it means that we're hoping for that thing to take place. We have expectancy. We're looking forward to its arrival. These things are only possible through faith. Faith is the substance. It's faith that constitutes them. And not only is it the substance, it's also the evidence. It's the proof that the answer is definitely coming and that nothing can stop it. That doesn't mean that it'll necessarily be the answer that we want or that we like, but it will come nevertheless, and we can be thankful for that. Romans 4:17, where the Lord is speaking of Abraham, says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were." God calls things that are not as though they were. If he does that, and we're to have his mind in operation within us, how much more should we do so? That's what faith does. It calls things that are not as though they were, and it enables us to do the same thing when we have it in operation within our spirit. It treats the answer that hasn't come yet as if it's already arrived, and that makes us able to thank him for it, even though our natural eyes see no natural evidence. When we have evidence in the spirit, we have no need for natural evidence, because the supernatural is always superior to the natural realm. Faith is the foundation of thanking God in advance, and we know that God always gives us what we need to do what he's asked us to do. And faith is one of those things. It's a fruit of the Spirit that he bursts within our spirit, and then we cultivate that seed through wisdom. We also can't forget what faith is. The Concordance says for the word in the Greek for faith, it's always a gift from God, never something that can be produced by people. In short, Faith for the believer is God's divine persuasion, and therefore distinct from human belief and confidence, yet involving it. The Lord continuously bears faith in the yielded believer, so they can know what He prefers, the persuasion of His will. This is the reason why faith is the evidence of things not seen. The Lord persuades us of its coming manifestation. He convinces us that it's on the way, which then leads us to the next component of thanking God in advance. After laying the foundation of faith, the first thing we have to build on that is trust. Trust is essential to thanking in advance. We're free to thank Him and be at peace, being assured in faith that the answer is on the way, because we trust in Him. We have to remember who we're dealing with. We're talking to God, the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God who said, "I am the Lord, I change not." This is who we serve. James 1 and 17 in the English Standard Version tells us, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." God never changes. His promises never change. He never goes back on a promise. He never leaves or forsakes His people, and His word never comes back void. This is why we trust, and why we can be absolutely sure that He will bring His word to pass, in full. If He's revealed to us His will in a specific matter, we can give thanks, because He's promised in Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thanking the Lord should be our priority. Earlier, verse 4 told us, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving." That's how we're meant to enter, which means that that's the first thing that we should do. That should be our top priority when coming into the presence of God. That's not only true when we're coming into the house of God, but also when we come before Him in prayer. When we're praying, we're entering the Holy of Holies, just like the high priest of old. We're communing with God one-on-one. And when we do, giving thanks to Him should be the very first thing that we do. We should give thanks for everything, past, present, and future. Giving thanks, more than communicating our gratitude, also acknowledges God and His hand working in our life. It's an acknowledgement that everything that's happened to us, everything we've achieved, all the good that we've experienced, wasn't something that we brought about all on our own. It's something that He brought about in our life. It's one of the ways that we give Him the credit or the glory for all that's taken place in our life and also what's going to take place. And we express that we appreciate Him. We also have to look at what else we find in verse 4. The full first phrase said, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." Thanks and praise, both of these go together, and this unique combination is a thread that we find running all throughout Scripture. 1 Chronicles 29 and 13 says, "Now therefore, our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name." Psalm 106 and 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endure forever." Psalm 69 and 30 says, "I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify Him with thanksgiving." These are just a few of the many verses that all reaffirm this combination. But what is it about praise that makes it so closely associated with the giving of thanks? Noah Webster said praise is the expression of gratitude, and there's a lot of truth to that. When we thank Him, we become naturally inclined to praise Him as an expression of that thanks. But there's a major difference between the two that we have to note. When we thank Him for what He's done. But when we praise Him for who He is. We thank Him for the gift, but we praise Him as the giver of the gift. That's why they have to go together. Praise is a natural byproduct of thanks. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, "By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Praise is the fruit of thanks. Psalm 116 and 17 says, "I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord." Both are a sacrifice. Sometimes it's not easy to give thanks. Sometimes the answer is a long time in coming. Sometimes it's after a long, hard-fought battle. Sometimes it may come after heartbreak and sorrow. Sometimes it's hard to praise too. Sometimes our carnal mind will lead us to feel like God hurt us or forsook us, that He's purposely not answering us, even though none of these things are true. But we have to push past what we see and what we feel in the natural, and put our thanks and our praise on the altar before Him as an offering. Faith is how we look beyond what we see. It's how we reach beyond the limits of the natural carnal nature into the supernatural. It's faith that has the ability to touch God, which is why it's faith that pleases God. The carnal sinful side of us could never please God. It's our spiritual faithful side that does have that capacity. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, beginning in the 13th verse, it says, For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham thanked God in advance. Verse 20 said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He gave God glory for the fulfillment of the promise long before it ever came to be in the natural, even when it didn't seem possible. He had faith, the inward divine persuasion of God. The next verse says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. This not only shows faith, but it also shows trust. He had both of them in operation, which allowed him to thank and praise the Lord for glorifying him. Abraham isn't the only one either that we find in Scripture who did this during trying circumstances. Hannah also experienced the same thing too. For so long she desired a child, she shed so many tears, and when she went to the temple and presented her desire to the Lord, then the very next day, 1 Samuel 1:19 tells us, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. She worshiped. That was the first thing that she did, even though the answer to her prayer was months away. She didn't wait until Samuel arrived. She gave thanks and praised in advance. We can also learn something important about giving thanks from Daniel. Daniel 2:23 says, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Here we find the same combination again. Daniel thanked and praised the Lord. Then in Daniel 6:10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. King Darius had made a decree that whoever worshipped any god other than him for 30 days would be thrown in the lion's den. Daniel, operating in faith and trust, brazenly went against this order and prayed to the Lord, and he gave thanks. Giving thanks in those circumstances isn't easy. To the natural mind, there wouldn't seem to be much to be thankful for. But Daniel was able to see beyond all that. He was giving thanks for the deliverance to come, and he was delivered. Even though he had to go to the lion's didn't touch him. There's power in thankfulness, and there's power in praise, because together they breed worship. And as we looked at a few weeks ago, worship always precedes victory, which is why the singers of Israel would always go out before the armies. Their praises were what paved the way for the victory to be won. Our thanks, our praise, and our worship clear the path for us. They cause the enemy to flee, and they allow us to prosper in what we set out to do. That's why we can say with Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel didn't allow his circumstances in the natural to steal his thanksgiving and his praise. When he entered the presence of the Lord in prayer, he entered with thanksgiving and praise, and we should do the same thing too. If we already had the victory, then there's no reason to not be thankful. There's too much to be thankful for us to ever hold it back. We need to express to God how much we appreciate what he's done and how much we appreciate what he's going to do. Earlier in Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, it said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. In the Classic Amplified Version, this verse says, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question, concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. We have to ask ourselves, why don't people give thanks in advance? Why don't they praise the Lord before the answer comes? If we think about how this works in the natural, we can gain some insight into this. Why do we give thanks in advance to people? The most common reasons are because you don't believe what they say, or you don't trust them to follow through on their word. This means you had no faith or trust in them. A breach in faith and trust will lead you to have to see evidence, see something right in front of you with your own eyes before you'll be thankful for it. Those same issues are the same that people then carry over to the spiritual side. But the difference with the spiritual is that we're not dealing with people, we're dealing with God. We can understand a lack of faith and trust in people, and many times there's wisdom in that, but not with God. In the absence of trust and faith, doubt and unbelief take their place, which is what causes people to stagger at the promise and become weak in faith. We may think that we're not sure if God will actually answer us. Maybe he won't follow through on his promise. Maybe his promises are too far-fetched. These type of doubts will start to erode our faith and trust. When we tolerate and coddle these doubts instead of rebuking them and settling them, they only grow and the erosion only gets worse and worse. It's in that state of mind that we then have a hard time giving thanks and a hard time praising. We start to want hard evidence before we'll thank him. We want to see the results before we'll offer any word of praise. We want to wait till after the fact just to be sure. We want to be cautious because we don't have it in us to take that leap of faith and lean on his promises. But why is that? Many doubts originate as thoughts in the form of questions. It's good to question. That's how we learn. That's how we weigh up knowledge, which we know from Proverbs 10 and 14 is a hallmark of wisdom. But sometimes these questions are twisted by the enemy with the direct purpose of attempting to sow seeds of doubt in our mind, just like he did with Eve in Genesis chapter 3. He comes to us with a yea if God said. We start to question his attributes. That leads us to not praise. And we start to question his actions. And that leads us to not give thanks. That's a dangerous combination, which is why we have to guard our minds and our hearts. Faith and trust must be held onto. They have to be preserved at all costs. Romans 10 and 17 tells us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to stay in the word of God, and we have to be listening inwardly for the voice of the Holy Spirit, speaking to us and guiding us. Sometimes doubts start to grow subtly, and that's something that we have to pay close attention to. One way subtle doubts start to reveal themselves is in the way we pray, which is important because it's through our prayers that we offer thanks and praise. Instead of thanking him, we fill that void with something else. Many Christians make the mistake, and even form the habit, of asking God for something over and over again, thinking that if they ask more often, they'll have a better chance of receiving what they've asked for. But it doesn't work like that, though. God hears us the first time, and instead of giving thanks in advance and praising him for the answer, they just keep going over old ground over and over again, asking for the same thing time and time again. We've all done this, so we know what it's like, but we need to think for a moment about what that would look like in the natural. There are always exceptions, but if you were dealing with someone and asked them to do you a favor, to do something for you, you wouldn't then keep asking them over and over again to do the same thing. That would be annoying for the other person. Maybe it would make them angry with you, and it might even make them less likely to do it. We all inherently know that, so instead of asking them constantly over and over again, we may simply remind them from time to time about it, which is the right way to go about it. We need to do the same thing in the spiritual, because every time we ask again, other than praying in vain repetition, which the Lord warns against, will we add to our anxiety about the answer and add to our fears that he won't keep his word to us, both of which are ungrounded and only serve to further cement our doubts and erode our faith and trust. When we remind the Lord about his promises, we're free to have faith, to trust that he knows what he said and that he will bring it to pass in full. And then we can thank and praise him for the answer and for the fulfillment of his promises. Psalm 119 verses 49 to 50 say, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Maybe instead of asking without ceasing, we should do what 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13 says, and thank God without ceasing. When we do so, that's when the answer comes. The word of God is full of promises that God's made to us. There's 34,000 of them, and each and every one of those belongs to you. They're your inheritance. The Lord paid for them with his own blood. That's 34,000 reasons at least to be thankful. But really, we have an infinite amount of reasons. We serve a great God who does great things. Today's our opportunity to give thanks. But giving thanks isn't just for one day of the year. It's a lifestyle. It's a mindset. And it's the byproduct of a heart that's grateful to God. It's something that we're to always and continually do. Let's close in prayer. Lord, today we thank you and we praise you. We lift up your name. We worship you. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us in the past, all that you're doing right now in the present, and all the great, amazing, incredible things that you have set apart for us in the future. Lord, today we claim your promises in faith, and we thank you for their fulfillment. We praise you that you are the giver of these amazing, incredible gifts. Lord, we thank you that you put the gift of faith within our spirit, that you put the seed there. And Lord, we ask for the wisdom to cultivate that seed properly. And Lord, we thank you that you change not, that you're always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, we're free to trust in you. Lord, we thank you for all the promises in your word that you've given to us. We thank you for the inheritance that you paid for on our behalf. And Lord, today we make our desire known that we want all of you. We want to go as deep with you as we possibly can. And we thank you that you've given your Holy Spirit to us, that you put yourself within us to lead us and to guide us into all truth. And Lord, we thank you that our sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise will ascend before you as a sweet-smelling savor. And we thank you that when others see how many great things you've done in our life, how many times you delivered us, how many times you blessed us, how many promises you've given to us, that they'll be drawn to come to you and they can have that same thanksgiving and praise in their life. Lord, we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you want to thank the Lord in advance and praise his name and have Jesus as a part of your life today, all you need to do is to invite Jesus into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior. Then you need to repent of your sins and ask for his forgiveness. Then you trust that you've been forgiven and you ask for his free gift of eternal life. Now, if you pray this from a sincere heart and you truly meant it, then you are now a part of the family of God. Welcome to God's family. We want to thank everybody for listening today. We appreciate you taking out your time to spend with us. If you'd like to give us feedback and tell us how much you appreciate this show, you can contact us at kingswordbiblestudy@gmail.com. If you'd like to learn more about this program and this ministry, you can visit kingswordbible.com. We appreciate also if you write a review from wherever you're listening to this podcast from, and if you follow and subscribe so that more people can hear the King's Word for themselves. God bless you. We want you to know that we love you all, and we will see you next week as we continue to study the King's Word together.